Father God, we thank you for this evening, for this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, one leading into the other. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for yourself. We thank you that you're here and you speak to us through the hymns, the carols that we sing, through the words that we read and we hear, through this Holy Communion. Continue to speak to us now, Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. Beautiful words that we sing in the carols that say so much and speak to us, and different words that stand out to us. In verse 4 that we've just sung of hymn 162, angels and archangels may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim thronged the air, but his mother only in her maiden bliss worshipped the beloved with a kiss. And as I sang that, I thought of communion. I thought of what led to it. Because at Easter time, we hear the story of how Jesus was betrayed with a kiss. And something so simple that we don't always make the connection between Jesus' birth and Jesus' death. And yet, if only we can open our eyes and our hearts and our ears, we can see and hear what's going on. A story that is so familiar, that we see and we hear so often, because obviously Christmas is always going to be the same. It's about the birth of Jesus. And Easter's always going to be the same. It's about the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's throughout the rest of the year that we hear the rest of the Bible, or parts of the rest of the Bible, and we have our teaching and encouragement. But Christmas and Easter is the same. And yet so often, there's new things, if only we can look. If only we can come to him with open hearts and minds. So this evening, I read Galatians 3, 23 to chapter 4, verse 7. And Matthew 1, 18 to 25. And Matthew 1 gives us part of the story about the birth of Jesus and about how Mary was chosen. It doesn't actually tell us that part about Mary, it's telling us more about Joseph. Because there's two involved in the marriage, and we all know that. Gotta be two. But do we ever think about what Joseph went through? Because it mentions here that Joseph was going to quietly get rid of her. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Though even though they weren't married again, in Jewish times when you were betrothed, when you were engaged, you obviously were considered to be unmarried. Slightly different from the way we look at things. Because people get engaged. And so there's the promise and there's usually a ring involved. And the plans are that they will eventually come to church, come to the communion rail, and will make promises to each other and get married. But from this, because it says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. As far as they were concerned, if you're engaged, you're married. And yet, even though they were engaged and they were betrothed, they don't actually come together until they are married. And so then, later on, it says, verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. Again, you have to read into and to hear and to listen to what's being said. And I refer back to what isn't in this passage, to parts that we know of in the story, where the angel approached Mary and told Mary that she was going to have a baby, and the baby that she would have would be from the Holy Spirit. And she said yes to the angel. What she didn't say was, hold on a minute, I need to go have a word with Joseph. She had an encounter with an angel from God. And it was enough for her to know that this was not just a human being. And she went, yes. And again, if you read the scriptures, Mary at no point went and explained things to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, so he was thinking about it. He didn't immediately decide. He thought about it just the same as we all do. We tend not to make rash decisions, hopefully. We ponder things, we think about it. And that's clearly what's happening here. Because it uses the word considered. He took time. Maybe he was thinking about himself. What are people going to think of me? They're going to think that I've had sex before marriage. Are they going to think it's my fault? What are they going to think? But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said. So his is different. Some people might say he had a nightmare. Because again, it's an angel of the Lord that appears to him. Because whenever we dream, our pictures tend to be bigger. We tend to see things, perhaps huge. Or they're dark and they're scary. That's why we call them nightmares. But how many of us here have vivid dreams? There's not many people that I know of. I'm going to say vivid dream that you remember exactly what you dreamt. Most of us tend to be those who wake up in the morning and go, all right, I'm awake now. Well, what was that was going on last night? And sometimes perhaps in the middle of a dream you think you're awake. And then you realize you're not and you're a bit confused. But Joseph knew exactly what was happening. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said. So here's Joseph getting his instructions. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Well, let's go back to Joseph, son of David. Joseph was of the line of David. That was again part of the Old Testament that it talks about, out of the root of Jesse. And David was the son of Jesse, would come the Messiah. So Joseph, son of David, the angel knew who he was and was calling him by name. And you sort of think, well, you'd like to think that whenever you're dreaming something, they know who you are. But Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. because he will save them from their sins. Jesus, son of David, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. He had to believe that. And we know from history that obviously he did believe that. But what's going on? What's happening? She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Those of you who are parents with children, you have to discuss and decide and disagree and talk about, what are we going to call our children? And the names that you come up with. And I say names plural because I know from talking to couples that have children, it's not necessarily just the one. And trying to work out what the name's going to be, and it's particularly great fun when you think you're having a daughter and you've got all these names and you get a son and you're thinking, oops, didn't think we were getting a son, we don't have a name. But you choose. The angel told Joseph, this is the name you will call him. And Jesus was not a name of Joseph's line. Jesus was not a name of Mary's line. It was the name that God wanted his son to be called. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And I'm sure at that point, people may well have been saying, what? Why are you calling him Jesus? And he probably at that point would have relayed the story. Because I don't believe for a minute that he relayed the story before then. And he would have explained that an angel of the Lord, he'd had a dream, which is why he'd taken Mary as his wife. Because he knew that the child that was in her, yes, was not his, but was from God. So go back, verse 21, she'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph would have been familiar with the passage from the Old Testament talking about that. And he may have been shocked and surprised. You mean, I'm the one, and Mary, my wife, is the one? And we are to be the couple to raise the Son of God? That's mighty. In anybody's understanding. We struggle, most of us, with trying to believe and to understand what the Bible's talking about. And we have to pull on the history of what's in the Bible, the history of what we've been taught, the history of all the teachings of the church, in the midst of what's going around us in the world. Because the world doesn't believe. And there are a few that do. And yet we struggle to hold on to the things that we believe. But wind the clock back 2,000 years. And you've got Mary and Joseph, Jews. People who strictly followed the traditions of God. People who were taught all the time about who God was and is, and tried to follow him. And they're hearing this. They've heard it prophesied, they've heard it talked about, they've heard it shared in so many places, and now all of a sudden, Mary's saying, the Holy Spirit has said to me, I'm going to have a child. And Joseph has had a dream, and the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of an angel, has come and said, your wife is going to have a child, and it's from the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Take her as your wife. And we just wash over those things. Because we know it. Because we've heard it. Because we've had so many Christmases. And we just need to think and take in the wonder of what exactly they were faced with and that they embraced. This is God being born to us. And we've to give him the name Jesus. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. That is powerful, that the two of them were able to comprehend that and take that and believe that. And then to see this child born, and this is our son, this is our baby. He's perfect, he's lovely, he's beautiful, just like every baby is that's born. Because the parents love their child and their children. Because he sees beautiful, wonderful, perfect, fantastic. And then in the midst of that, but this is Emmanuel. This is a special baby that has been entrusted to us, to you and me. Dear God, help us. Help us. Help us to be good parents. As we pray tonight, help us to be good followers. Help us to understand and to think on these things and not just pass it by. Let God speak to you as he speaks to me, to your heart and to your mind. Because I believe he is. Not just through the things I say, but through the things that we've sung, through the words that are written. Let him talk to you. Let this be a good Christmas, a good time, a blessed time, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to take an offering during the singing of the next hymn, which is hymn 166, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Hymn 166.